Downer is very proud to bring this podcast series to you. At Downer, our purpose is to provide the vital services that connect communities and enable them to thrive. We do this by assembling the best minds, harnessing the power of technology and our enduring relationships to deliver sustainable outcomes for all.
Welcome to the Accelerating Action podcast. I'm Justin Manners, Digital Media Specialist at the AWA, and today I'm joined by Rhys Collins, Traditional Owner Relationships Manager with Melbourne Water. Rhys, how are you today?
G'day, I'm great, thanks. Good to be online with you today.
Thank you very much for joining me today on the podcast. Now, it is National Reconciliation Week, which is very important, especially as water utilities look to make a difference with their Reconciliation Action Plan. But I also want to talk more about further engagement with First Nations communities, because it doesn't just start and end with a Reconciliation Action Plan. We need to act on the plan as well. But before we get into that, Rhys, can you tell us a little about yourself and your role within Melbourne Water?
Yeah, sure, Justin. It's a great role that I get to play at Melbourne Water. We've got a really great team. We're a small team, but we do have a great impact in the things that we're able and capable of doing. So our role at Melbourne Water encompasses work on reconciliation action plans, and particularly the three key pillars of our current Innovate Wrap and soon to be Stretch Wrap, where we're working on things around procurement of Aboriginal businesses and supporting and employing Aboriginal people within our business and encouraging a culturally safe workplace. And that's got a huge emphasis on cultural awareness training, but also making sure all of our buildings are culturally safe places where artwork's prominent and language use is common, these types of things. We also work on the partnerships we wish to have with traditional owner corporations. A core part of our role is to make sure that traditional owners are placed at the center of decision making and are able to participate in all things to do with the management of water and the land that Melbourne Water have within their control. So, yeah, reconciliation and partnerships are the two main parts of our team at Melbourne Water.
It's great to see Melbourne Water support a culturally safe workplace and do the work to employ Aboriginal people and the partnerships that follow. Now, speaking of traditional owners, how did you come about designing and facilitating the Traditional Owners Workshop, which was held at Auswater 24 this year?
Well, look, to be honest, I think the design of the program for Auswater needs to go with the movement where traditional owners are really becoming more central to planning and decision-making around water. I'd like to see a whole day set aside in one stream at least for traditional owner participation. And as the planning was going ahead for this year, and knowing that it was in Melbourne and that Melbourne Water had quite a strong contingent of people within the planning of the committee, I was hoping that there'd be a workshop for traditional owners. And so I was talking with some of the folks that were involved there, and we knew that we could pull together a group of people to tell compelling stories about traditional owner decision-making and water. And more importantly, Victoria's got the Water for Life strategy, which was released a couple of years ago. Within that, there's nation statements from traditional owners and really strong commitments to having traditional owners have water justice, water returns, and participation in decision making. And there wasn't really a platform for that within the program. So we were hoping to bring together some people to tell their own stories about their own journeys and how government strategy and policy is supporting that. But at the same time, we're also very aware that there's limitations to the strategy itself when the bodies or agencies or responsible public entities aren't actually planning well enough for the implementation of the strategy. So we did have a little focus on that to think about when you're implementing a strategy, what do you need for success? And where are the things within the system that are holding you back or slowing down the progress or limiting success? And within the Victorian structure, I think it's very clear that there's a strategy and a policy. The traditional owners are usually quite clear about what they'd like to do, but then the responsibility goes down to the water retailer or the water authority or the catchment management authority as the delivery lead within the region. And I think there needs to be a little bit better planning around that transition from the policy or strategy release to how we can partner with traditional owners and allow them to make the decisions on land. There's one limitation to the workshop we had, and it is difficult to plan for the Oswater conference being such a big national and international conference. We're the last workshop on the last day, and it's always hard to draw an audience at the end when people are probably getting pretty fatigued and thinking more about going home perhaps than participating. So if we're going to put a focus on traditional owner considerations and commitment to a conference, it'd be good to have it in a core part of the program. That's just a side note, perhaps, for future planning.
I agree, especially because last year for Oswater 23, which was held in Sydney, we had a yarning circle which was held just after the morning keynote session on the final day. So I can imagine it was quite different in terms of attendance due to the opposing morning and afternoon structure. So if you don't mind me asking, what was the audience reception like for the traditional owners workshop?
We had a strong, committed audience to the workshop. And I think it was helped by the great talk that was on the Tuesday from Dr. Kirsten Shelley from the Victorian government talking about the Water is Life strategy. I think that led in well to that. So having that lead-in discussion then followed up with a workshop, I think is a good structure because people raise questions in their minds when they hear a talk. And when you can come to a workshop later in the conference and actually talk about those things with people present, I think that's a good structure. I think there was also an excellent workshop prior to the one that we were doing where the Australian Water Professional of the Year, Phil Duncan, and a few others were on a panel talking about engaging with community. So there was a content familiarity there for people that went through two sessions. The audience was smaller for the second session because it was after lunch, which makes it a little bit difficult. But we thought that was a good way to bring people together toward the end of the conference.
You mentioned Phil Duncan, and I've been quite lucky to work with Phil myself on a few different projects. I always manage to learn something new. He's just such a dynamite speaker, and he's got that real great charisma. Now, given that this week marks National Reconciliation Week, I think a lot of organisations know that a Reconciliation Action Plan is just the beginning of a true engagement plan with First Nations people. But in your opinion, how can utilities and associations better commit to engagement with First Nations people?
It's a difficult question to answer within different communities. I think it's going to be different in different parts of Australia with different utilities that have different relationships with community. I think your relationship is the key. It can't be based on one individual. It needs to be an organisational approach so that if someone leaves your business that has the relationship, you've got others there that are familiar with what you've been doing with that community. But over time, I think it's just about developing trust, doing what you say you'll do and committing to it, designing what you say you'll do with the partner rather than choosing for them and then delivering on it together. And then over time, just as that relationship builds, the engagement is easier because you know each other. And I think a lot of relationships are in their infancy like that, or staff leave and then others are too nervous to follow up on it. So I think being consistent, being familiar, doing what you say you'll do, these types of things will probably help. It's also important to know you're engaging with the right people, and that could be critical to some communities to make sure you're engaging with the right people.
Great advice. It's so crucial to have the right plan and to talk to the right people. My final question to you today, Rhys, is what advice do you have for interested young water professionals looking to make a career in the water industry?
Well, I think for young professionals, having a range of experiences and knowledge is probably the key to success, and extending beyond what's comfortable at times and finding things that challenge you and gaining connections and contacts with people that you'll need to work with within your professional career. I think generally that would cover most things, and being open to ideas and to learning as you go.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much, Rhys, for joining me today.
No worries. Thanks for the time, and hopefully you guys put on a great show when you go to South Australia next year.
For our listeners, you can join our free National Reconciliation Week webinar this Friday, the 31st of May, co-hosted by the AWA and the Water Services Association of Australia. There is a link in this description. Thank you and take care.